But does this help us?
You bet your ass it does. It's the first definite link in the chain. It was a fixed, identifiable location. We need to get down to 6th Avenue and figure out where it was. Someone might have seen him there. Someone might even know who he is. Chapter 29. Reacher and Pauling caught a cab on 2nd Avenue, and it took them all the way south to Houston Street and then west to 6th. They got out on the southeast corner and glanced back at the empty sky where the Twin Towers used to be, and then they turned north together into a warm breeze full of trash and grit.
"So show me the famous fire plug," Pauling said.
They walked north until they came to it, right there on the right-hand sidewalk in the middle of the block. Fat, short, squat, upright, chipped dull paint, flanked by two protective metal posts 4 feet apart. The curb next to it was empty. Every other legal parking spot on the block was taken. Pauling stood near the hydrant and pirouetted a small circle, looked east, north, west, south.
"Where would a military mind want to be?" she asked.
Reacher recited. "A soldier knows that a satisfactory observation point provides an unobstructed view to the front and adequate security to the flanks and the rear. He knows it provides protection from the elements and concealment of the observers. He knows it offers a reasonable likelihood of undisturbed occupation for the full duration of the operation."
"What would the duration be?"
"Say an hour maximum each time."
"How did it work the first two times?"
"He watched Gregory Park and then he followed him down to Spring Street."
"So he wasn't waiting inside the derelict building?"
"Not if he was working alone."
"But he still used the back door?"
"On the second occasion, at least."
"Why not the front door?"
"I don't know."
"Have we definitely decided he was working alone?"
"Only one of them came back alive."
Pauling turned the same slow circle. "So where was his observation point?"
"West of here. He will have wanted a full-on view."
"Across the street?"
Reacher nodded. "Middle of the block, or not too far north or south of it. Nothing too oblique. Range, maybe up to 100 feet, not more."
"He could have used binoculars, like Patty Joseph does."
"He would still need a good angle, like Patty has. She's more or less directly across the street."
"So set some limits."
"A maximum 45-degree arc. That's 20-some degrees north to 20-some degrees south. Maximum radius, about 100 feet.
Pauling turned to face the curb square on. She spread her arms out straight and 45 degrees apart, and held her hands flat and upright like mimed karate chops.
Scoped out the view. A 45-degree bite out of a circle with a radius of 100 feet gave her an arc of about 78 feet to look at. More than 3 standard 20-foot Greenwich Village storefronts, less than 4. A total of 5 establishments to consider. The center 3 were possibilities, the one to the north and the one to the south were marginal. Reacher stood directly behind her and looked over her head. Her left hand was pointing at a flower store. Then came his new favorite cafe. Then came a picture framer and a double-fronted wine store, wider than the others. Her right hand was pointing at a vitamin shop.
"A flower store would be no good," she said. "It offers a wall behind him and a window in front of him, but it wouldn't be open at 11:40 at night."
Reacher said nothing.
"The wine store was probably open, but it wouldn't have been at 7 in the morning."
Reacher said, "Can't hang around in a flower store or a wine store for an hour at a time. Neither one of them offers a reasonable likelihood of undisturbed occupation for the full duration of the operation."
"Same with all of them, then," she said, "except the cafe. The cafe would have been open all 3 times, and you can sit for an hour in a cafe."
"The cafe would have been pretty risky. 3 separate lengthy spells. Someone would have remembered him. They remembered me after 1 cup of coffee."
"Were the sidewalks crowded when you were here?"
"Fairly."
"So maybe he was just out on the street, or in a doorway. In the shadows, he might have risked it. He was on the other side from where the cars were parking.
No protection from the elements and no concealment. It would have been an uncomfortable hour, 3 times in a row."
"He was a recon marine. He was in prison in Africa for 5 years. He's used to discomfort."
"I meant tactically.
This part of town, he would have been afraid of getting busted for a drug dealer or a terrorist. South of 23rd Street, they don't like you to hang around at all anymore.
So where was he?
Reacher looked left, looked right. Then he looked up. You mentioned Patty Joseph's place. You called it an eyrie.
So?
What's an eyrie?
It's an eagle's nest.
Exactly. From the old French for lair. The point is that Patty is reasonably high up. 7 pre-war floors, that's a little above treetop height. An unobstructed view. A recon marine wants an unobstructed view, and he can't guarantee that at street level. A panel truck could park right in front of him at the wrong moment. Lauren Pauling turned back to face the curb and spread her arms again, this time raised at an angle. She mimed the same karate chops with her hands. They bracketed the upper floors of the same 5 buildings.
Where did he come from the first time? She asked.
From south of me, from my right. I was facing a little north and east at the end table, but he was coming back from Spring Street then. No way of knowing where he had started out from. I sat down, ordered coffee, and he was in the car before they even brought it to me.
But the second time, after Burke switched the bag, he must have been coming straight from the observation point, right?
He was almost at the car when I saw him.
Still moving?
Final 2 paces.
From what direction?
Reacher moved up the sidewalk to where he had been after strolling around the corner from Bleecker. In his mind, he put a green Jaguar beyond Pauling on the curb and pictured the guy's last 2 fluid strides toward it. Then he lined up the apparent vector and checked the likely point of origin. Kept his eyes on it as he stepped back to Pauling. Actually very similar to the first time, he said to her. North and east through the traffic, from the south of where I was sitting. Pauling adjusted the position of her right arm, brought her hand south, and chopped the air a fraction to the left of the cafe's most northerly table. That cut the view to just a slim section of the streetscape. Half of the building with the flower store in it, and most of the building with the cafe in it. Above the flower store were 3 stories of windows with vertical blinds behind them, and printers and spider plants and stacks of paper on their sills, fluorescent tubes on the ceilings.
Office suites, Pauling said.
Above the cafe were 3 stories of windows filled variously with faded drapes made of red Indian cloth, or macrame hangings, or suspended discs of stained glass. One had nothing at all. One was papered over with newsprint. One had a Che Guevara poster taped face out on the inside of the glass.
Apartments, Pauling said.
Jammed between the flower store and the cafe was a blue recessed door. To its left was a dull silver box with buttons and nameplates and a speaker grill. Reacher said, a person who came out that door heading for the fire plug would have to cross north and east through the traffic, right? Pauling said,
we found him.